From Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, we're going to talk a little bit about that darkness that we might experience in life, about those places where we may hurt a little, or those places where we may doubt that anyone is with us, those places where we feel like we're totally alone. In the Psalm 23, we say, "Yea, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thy God art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he prepares the place before me, and anoints my head with oil." And in those final words, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That last statement says, today will be good, but tomorrow will be even better, because we have God in our lives. So I invite you now to turn in your Bibles to Galatians 6. As our hearts are prepared to receive these words. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work, then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And there's two pieces to this scripture that I want to draw back out to your attention. And it's the first verse. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, then you, us, who have received the Spirit, should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And it also says to take care that you yourselves are not tempted. And then there in verse 10 we're reminded, so that whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith, or the body of Christ, or the people that sit next to you in church today. So as we hear these words, maybe thinking, how are we coming back to that period of darkness that I alluded to as we shared Psalm 23? But I want you to think just for a minute. Last week we talked about how Christians are sent out almost as if they were lambs into the midst of the wolves in regards to the challenges that we will face along with the temptations that we will endure in this world. We also acknowledged last week that those wolves kind of stood out on the periphery or out on a fence line, and they were waiting for the lambs to take a misstep. They were waiting for the lambs to think that grass was greener on the other side of the pasture. They were waiting for those lambs to stick their head through the fence, that misguided step, so that they could do what wolves are best at doing. Well, in the piece of scripture that we share this morning from Galatians 6, what we find is the Apostle Paul offering some words of advice to the Galatian people in regards to those of the family of faith who may have faltered. Because we hear those words, transgression. We hear not being tempted. And we hear when we have an opportunity to work for the good of all, especially for those in the family of faith, then let's do it. So as we set things up with this scripture, I ask you to take just a minute to look into your lives, to look into your heart, as places where you've been. But as you do that, I also ask that you consider your circle of friends, your family, and your co-workers. And then now I'm going to ask questions to which I already know the answer. So you don't have to answer them out loud. Have you ever made a mistake in your life? Have you ever taken a misstep or said something that you didn't want to say and wish you could take it back? Or perhaps you acted out in a way, or you held a grudge a little bit longer than what you probably should have, and then it just kind of tore you up on the inside? Have you always lived in that law of Christ? And we know that's a perfect law of love. Have you always lived that law out fully? Have you and your friends and your family always lived perfectly with Jesus Christ as the model? Now comes the challenge. When we didn't, or when your friends did not, then what is it that we did? What did we do about it when our friends or our family members made a mistake, or we saw them heading off in a direction that was not consistent with what we know from the Scriptures, or what we know from the law of love? Maybe somebody was getting involved in something. We knew that there was nothing but trouble. Did we let it happen? Or did we do something about it? Or perhaps when you were having those challenges, or that place that you took your missteps, did somebody intervene and step in and say something? Or did they let it happen? Would I remind you this morning, just as Paul reminded the Galatians people, that as members of the body of Christ, we are accountable to our God, and we are also accountable to each other. I believe that we have all walked through some dark valley at a point in our lives. And I believe many will continue to experience those dark places in their lives. I think we all have those opportunities, just a second, just a fleeting mistake. Then we can find ourselves in that place where we're experiencing that darkness again. These places of darkness, created by a lot of things. Maybe they're created by shadows of guilt. Maybe that darkness we experience has guilt. Maybe it's a place where we have guilt. Maybe it's regret of something that we said, or something we didn't say, or something that we did not do. Maybe it's some pain that we experienced early in our life, both whether it be emotional pain, or whether it be a physical pain, whether it be pain dealing with an illness because of a decision that we made. Or perhaps we feel that we're separated from God. There are so many ways that we can experience that darkness, and most likely we've also experienced that darkness, those missteps, even after we accepted Christ in our hearts. And you may be sitting there saying, well, why? Why is it, once we've become Christians, why is it that we still experience that darkness? Well, there's two things. One, there's nowhere in the Scripture that tells us things are going to be nice and rosy and perfect after we become Christians. But the other part that we remember is that much of the darkness that we experience in our life, not all of it, but a lot of it, but much of it, is self-imposed. It's about decisions that we make, things that we do, places that we go, especially when we have this lure to the things that are out here, and we're seeking our happiness here rather than from the Word of God. But a lot of times we've experienced that darkness because we still make mistakes. We still make mistakes. We're not perfect people. We serve a perfect God, but we're not perfect people. We still make mistakes. We're still lured by temptation, and we still experience this world. Our desire is to be conformed to the Word, but unfortunately, more often than not, we get too much influence of this world into our lives. Everybody in here has probably been through some pretty tough times in their life. Everybody in here has probably questioned their faith at some point in time in their life. And if not, you know somebody that has. Maybe you've done some bad things. I mean, at times I know we've been quick to anger. I have. Slow to love. Or maybe we've rejected the act of forgiveness. In other words, we didn't want to forgive because we liked holding on to a grudge too long. Or we did not want to accept forgiveness when somebody offered it to us. At times, maybe we considered that our sin was too great to be forgiven, so we fell out here. We just kind of went out here and just kind of thought, you know what? I'm a hopeless case. Or maybe we have been influenced by a friend to make some mistakes, to try something we shouldn't. Or perhaps we've been the one who done the influencing to make a bad decision. What does it sound like when I say that? Those things, quick to anger, slow to love, rejected forgiveness, sin too great. Does that sound like a prayer that we pray pretty frequently? Our prayer of confession and pardon that we pray during Holy Communion. We acknowledge that we've made mistakes, that we also acknowledge we've received forgiveness from our mighty God through the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ. And last week as we shared Holy Communion, we prayed that prayer of confession and pardon together. So hearing those places to where we may have made those missteps and those mistakes, our challenge becomes this. What is it that we do for those whom we know may be at a bad place in their life? What is it that we do for those whom we believe to be at a bad place in their life with their decisions, their choices, their actions? And you can read the writing on the wall. You know how it's going to turn out. So what is it then that we do? Do we rebuke them and cast them off to the side and say, no, I'm done with you. You got to sleep in the bed that you make. I mean, that's your decision. Deal with it. Or do we respond to them according to the law of Christ, which is the law of love? What people need to know, and this is where we come in, what people need to know is that God is with them no matter what. And that we too, as a body of Christ, are to be willing to walk alongside them. We read it in the scripture this morning, that we can help carry those burdens. It didn't take away the full responsibility. You'll notice it also said you had to shoulder some of your own. For those decisions you make, you got to shoulder some of your own. You've got to accept responsibility. But others can help you with those burdens as well. So in a worst case scenario, when we're thinking really bad things, that journey through darkness because of drugs or alcohol, or adultery, or sin, or disbelief. And there are so many others that are out there that we could just keep on naming. Those things can be too great for a person to bear alone. Those things can be too great for a person to bear alone. So coming back to what I just said, they are to accept responsibility for those things. By asking for forgiveness, by acknowledging that God is with them does not take away their responsibility for those things, maybe crime or whatever that they've committed. They still have to accept that responsibility, but God is with them, and we too can be with them because as a body of Christ, we have to let others know that God is with them and that we're not going to forsake them, and that what we can do is to be there in gentleness. We can be there in gentleness and love to lead them out of their darkness. And that, brothers and sisters, is a very powerful statement of love and an act of caring. Now, it does not mean, understand, it does not mean that we're condoning their behavior. Being there, loving them, offering to lead them out in gentleness and kindness is different than saying, your behavior was perfectly acceptable. If I love someone who was addicted to cocaine, it doesn't mean that I condone the practice of illicit drug use, or if I love someone or talk to someone who has committed a crime, it doesn't mean that I condone that practice. It doesn't mean that I condone the sin or the addiction, but rather we are there, I am there, all of us are there to offer the love of Jesus Christ at their point and place of need so that they may have that opportunity to experience change in their lives. The judgment and sentencing part, well, that's God's responsibility. We don't judge people. We're not supposed to judge people. On the other side, we know that we all have had a tendency to do that at times. But judgment and sentencing is not our place, our responsibility. Our place, our responsibility, our objective, if you will, is to offer a hope in reconciliation and to offer love in a place where we stand as the body of Christ. In other words, people know, people need to know who we are, what it is that we do, and how we're going to love people in accordance with the law of Christ, no matter what it is that they experience. And brothers and sisters, when we are at that point, when we're at that point, that's when we can see that fullness of love growing across our community. It may sound, I guess, at times like maybe we're different or we're strange if we're loving somebody who has done something wrong. But I call you back to the first part of what we talked about today. I don't think there's a single one of us in here that have not done something that we wish we hadn't done in our life. And if you're like me, there's a lot of those places. I could write a book about the places where I made those mistakes. But the beauty of it is, the beauty of this, brothers and sisters, is those places where we've made those mistakes in our lives, those are those places where we are now probably most effectively prepared to witness to others who might be experiencing those same challenges and those same temptations. But this world has created an atmosphere of quick judgment and a lack of trust. People don't want to trust who we are as Christians. Shoot, we probably don't even want to trust each other half the time, because we feel like somebody's going to talk. If I share what's in my heart, then somebody's going to talk about it. Or I'm hesitant to reach out to you because you're going to judge me. You're going to look at me differently. And once I tell you what's in my heart or what I've done, then I'm going to have a problem rising above that stigma of that dark place I've been if I tell others that didn't know about it. I want you to think about the Methodist Church just for a minute. The early Methodist people under John Wesley had something that they had established called bands. They were groups of people. They were put together to promote sharing. And essentially, it was a confessional group. It was put together off an early Moravian model of confession groups, and essentially, that's what this group, these bands, did. As they come together, they met, they talked, and you know what? I got mad at Bill this week. Probably shouldn't have, and I held a grudge for a couple of days, and I feel really bad about that. So I'm going to go and apologize to Bill. I mean, and on and on. They had those conversations, because it was good for them to get things off of their chest. The bands allow people to share their mistakes with people who would listen, and they would listen in a loving manner without judgment, and at the same time, they acted as a support group. So whatever I had on my heart or they had on their heart, they could share that stuff, get it off their chest, and even to the point, maybe talk with some others who would experience the same type of thing and have that opportunity to figure out how to go next. I ask you today, are you ready? Is this community ready for a deeper relationship with God? Are we ready for a deeper relationship with God? Are we willing to share the burdens of others? In other words, are we willing to listen in a loving manner without judgment to those who may be experiencing some challenges in their life? Or perhaps there are things that you want to get off your chest by talking to someone else. And if so, then I encourage those that are sitting here today to be willing to listen in a loving manner without judgment, and to listen in a confidential way, because getting things off your chest may very well be that first step in recovery, of moving past that thing that creates that darkness in your life. But trust is of the utmost importance. And listening and loving without judging is that key. What I tell you this morning is something you already know. God will not forsake you no matter what. God will not forsake you no matter where you've traveled or those places where you have strayed. But as a changed people, if we choose to follow Christ, the law of Christ in love, then we're making that commitment to live out love fully in every aspect of our life. And as we live out that love fully, then that is that distinguishing mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Life is tough. The challenges can be great. They're far too great to go it alone. And we know we're going to make mistakes. But we can find comfort in knowing that our God is with us, and our brothers and sisters in Christ stand ready to listen. They stand ready to love. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.